Jeff Moon. I'm a market development specialist for Corteva Agriscience, and I work in the states of Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Well, Jeff, let's talk about in Minnesota and Wisconsin this year, how things have gone for corn and soybean growers. I know being in southeast Minnesota myself that it was a very cold, wet start to the growing season. What did you see?
Well, I think you're exactly right there. This season has been, you know, unique, although I think every year has some uniqueness to it. We saw some things and experienced some things here in 2019 that were certainly unusual. I cover a wide geography in Minnesota and Wisconsin, so you know, all these things didn't happen everywhere, but it seems like in Minnesota, the further west and south you traveled from me, I'm up in the St. Cloud area. You ran into wetter soils and later planting conditions. And of course, the preventive plant acres have been concentrated, you know, I think more heavily down in that area. And so those problems existed down there. I think spring was late for everybody. So we were behind on growing degree days and plant development and less than ideal conditions that we planted into. And of course, all those things can contribute to what we're going to see here at the end of the year, I think.
I talked to a farmer yesterday from New Prague who had a 2-day window to plant corn in the middle of May, and then rains pushed him out again until early June. He said the corn planted in May looks good. The June corn he's very concerned about. And I'm sure that's kind of across the board, like you pointed out earlier, where planting was sporadic and spread out, and so we have crop development that's all over the place.
We sure do. And, you know, the stuff that got in early, if guys had good planting conditions and they took advantage of that, or were able to take advantage of it, maybe I should say it that way, I think in general terms, you know, that crop looks a little bit better than the later planted stuff. I think growing degree days or heat units, however you refer to that, you know, we've been fighting that battle all year long. But again, if we got some stuff in the ground a little bit earlier, that's had a little bit more of those heat units and maybe isn't quite as far behind. You know, for a while, the corn looked a little ragged out there, and then it gets to a point where you really can't see some of those holes and some of that unevenness out there. But it really started to show up again, at least to folks that aren't used to looking for that, when the tassels started to pop. And then you could start to see some of that unevenness again. And it's just going to take a while for this crop to finish. And we don't know what Mother Nature is going to throw at us here in the next month or 6 weeks, but we need a lot of that time to get this crop finished up.
Generally speaking, has corn in Minnesota been, and in Wisconsin, been more susceptible to disease pressure than other years?
You know, again, I think it depends on the area that you're in. Disease pressure can pop up here and there. We've heard about some tar spot in Wisconsin, and initially they thought that was going to be a big deal again this year. And all the indicators pointed that direction, and then we didn't have that big of an outbreak. Now, there might be some people that were still affected by that, and so that's pretty severe in their areas. But I really think it depends kind of on the growing conditions where you're at. And I know that sounds kind of elementary, but it is. You know, if you're in an area that's stayed wet and been good for disease development, you've run into some things there, although I don't think it's been anything terribly heavy in the areas that I work in. You know, just some of those normal things that pop up, and it just kind of seems to be, you know, that mentality of one thing after another. Boy, I was late getting the crop in, and it was tough coming out of the ground, and now I've got some disease pressure I'm dealing with, and maybe a few insects showed up. So it just seems to keep on coming, and that's what farming is, right? We're used to dealing with those things, and we've got a plan in place, and we go ahead and we do what we can to make the best of that situation and hopefully in the end get the best yield that we can. Farmers are great at adapting to the situation that's there, and they keep an open mind about the things they have to do. And this year they've really had to keep an open mind about a number of things to get this crop to the point that it is.
How about the soybean crop? As farmers were looking to get corn planted and were prevented time and time again, that really delayed the start to soybean planting. What are we seeing in that crop?
Yeah, you know, the soybeans, they've got a little ways to go here too. In the travels that I've been on the last couple of weeks, soybeans look pretty good, considering the conditions that they were put in. We still need some time to finish that crop off as well. You know, usually we see this time of year, a lot of weed control issues that have popped up, just some late germinating weeds. I think in general terms, I'm seeing less of that at this point. Now, we've still got a ways to go, so we still might see some of these things come popping through the canopy. But the soybeans are moving along. We've had a few cases where guys have run into some white mold here in the past 10 days, 2 weeks. And that's something that can be difficult for people to get a handle on. That's one that you almost need to treat ahead of time and to plan. You know, if you've got a field that was susceptible to white mold and you knew that, you've almost got to have a plan in place that you're going to do something about that before that disease, you know, shows up. So we had some people battling that. We've had a few soybean aphids in some areas. Again, I don't think that really popped and took off like maybe we were anticipating was going to happen. But we had some people do some treating for that. We had some defoliators that showed up out there, some Japanese beetle and some other things that maybe were out there chewing on those soybean leaves. So again, it's not been everywhere, but I think everybody has had a few challenges with those soybeans. But in general, the soybean crop, I think, looks pretty good. We just, again, need some time to get it finished up.
I want to come back to your comment about weeds, because I'm hearing that quite a bit, that fields look pretty clean right now, and that was not the expectation. What do you attribute that to? Was it fields that were cultivated later than normal, and maybe that kind of helped in the suppression effort, or what do you think is behind that?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Mark. So when we can delay that tillage pass, we can take out a lot of weeds that may have germinated early. So that helps get a good control from the beginning. I also think that farmers in general are adopting some of these techniques that us in the industry that sell these products, but also the university folks, you know, talk about and some of this layered residual chemistry that they might put out there with their post applications of a herbicide, realizing that we need something else out there besides just a contact herbicide to take out weeds. We need to add that layered residual herbicide along with it to keep that clean field going. And I think that's had some impact as well. So between the late planting, which of course no one really enjoyed, and the late field work that went with that, and those layered residuals, I think we're seeing some improvement in weed control this year. And I hope that continues through the season, and I hope people continue to do that in the future as well, because we certainly have our hands full when it comes to controlling weeds out there, and we need to employ a number of different strategies to stay on top of those resistant weeds and hard-to-control weeds.
Yeah, a month from now, we'll be knocking on the door to October, and I'm curious as to what you expect everyone to be talking about and what things will look like at that point. Will we be seeing any soybeans coming out? Are you thinking about corn stands and maybe that being a problem as we move through October and getting that crop out? What do you think will be the dominant themes a month from now, Jeff?
Well, again, in the parts of the world that I work in, I would anticipate, you know, here shortly, I think guys are going to get going on some chopping of silage. That's one thing that's going to start up. You know, it's going to be a little bit later than normal, and that's understandable given the time that the crop went into the ground. Harvest in general is going to be pushed back. I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of harvest activity aside from some silage happening in September. I think the soybean harvest is going to get pushed way back to the end of September, first part of October, and corn harvest may not start until we get into October. That's going to push back, you know, fall field work. It's going to push back some fertilizer applications. Might make it a little bit difficult this fall to get some of that stuff done that you would normally like to get done in the fall of the year. Puts a little more pressure on the retailers that are out there that normally apply anhydrous ammonia or get some fall fertilizer out. You know, it's hard to get all that done in the spring of the year because our time frame can be pretty short. So it's really important to have some time here in the fall to get some of this field work and nutrient applications done. So I think it's going to be obviously a later fall than normal, and I think it's going to be a challenge to get all that work done that our retailers and our farmers would like to have done. I was at a meeting the other day, and it was a seed meeting, and they were talking about, you know, corn maturity, And they were really talking about that first to second week of October, some stuff just getting the black layer at that point. And so that's a little bit later than normal. And it's gonna put some pressure on everybody this fall.
Yeah, back to that conversation I had with the farmer yesterday, after he was pushed out in the middle of May, and he was looking at, planting corn in June. He tried to switch to a shorter season hybrid, and there just wasn't anything available, so he had to stick with the maturity that he had originally. And I'm wondering if maybe that's pretty common.
And again, we talked about a few moments ago the adaptability of farmers and trying to make the best of the situation they're in. And some of those folks that were able to make some switches to some earlier hybrids, they made the decision early enough to get their hands on some of that seed. Some of those early hybrids are developed for guys in those early hybrid areas where they really need that. So it is hard to shift some of that stuff further south. Those that were able to do that, might be in a little bit better position there as far as crop development. Those guys that stuck with their original hybrids, certainly there's some advantages to those longer or later maturing hybrids when it comes to maybe yield there. But this year that might bite us a little bit depending upon when frost hits and what stage that crop is in. So kind of a mixed bag out there, Mark. It's going to really depend on the area that the farmer is in, and again, how the weather progresses this fall. That'll tell us a story.
Some really good insight today, Jeff. Anything else you want to make sure we talk about?
Well, I just like to remind folks whenever I have a chance to be in front of an audience, pay attention to what they're doing this fall. Make some notes on their in their notebook if that's what they use yet, or on their phone or their iPad, and pay attention to what you're seeing out there in the field. So as you're planning for 2020, if you had a stand issue or you had a weed control issue or something that catches your eye, that as you're planning for 2020, you can have that conversation with your seed supplier or your area retailer that you're working with your crop protection and fertilizer needs. And then also just want to remind people to be safe this fall. There's going to be a lot of stuff happening. It's going to happen really quick. And the most important thing is that you get home at the end of the day to be with those that you care about. So hopefully everybody has a safe harvest as well.